God likes everybody. That's the way he is. All right, I'm going to pray again. Father, thank you for your word.
Yes.
God, thank you that we do. We just love your word because we love Jesus. And he is the word made flesh. And he came to earth. He dwelt among us. He was the Son of God, but he's also the Son of Man. So that he might die to eliminate, take away from us all of our sins. God, what a miracle, God. This is a free gift. We didn't even have to do anything. We just, I don't know, we just somehow believed. And it was just by faith. And as a matter of fact, even right now, today, this very second, this very moment, we still live by faith. It's the only way to live because we don't see everything that you promised, but we know it's true. And we thank you that everything you promised us to inherit eternal life, to inherit heaven itself, to be in the presence of Jesus Christ all the days of our life and even for eternity. And so, Father, we thank you for your promises. They're all yes and amen in Jesus. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Today I want to talk about thoughts. The Bible says that, gosh, every man is a liar and God is true. God never lies, ever. Men, our thoughts deceive us, our thoughts are... I'm going to give the bad news first and we'll get the good news. That's how the gospel works. God always... If you read the Old Testament, you always notice that all the things that God says in judgment to the Jewish people, to the world, but there's always good news in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Always. God never leaves us without hope. We always have hope.
Amen.
I've been watching The Lord of the Rings with my daughter Shannon and with all of our family. I got it for Christmas. They gave me that extended version. So, but it's a long time to watch those movies. They're like long. But I noticed one thing about that, no matter how bad it got, one thing they always mention in the movies is, hey, we have hope. You might not see it, you might not feel it, but man, I know we have hope. So they always had hope. And God always gives us hope, and hope is the anchor of our soul. We have hope because the love of God is shed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So every man in his heart thinks evil continually. Even if you don't think it's evil, it's evil. So we have to take every thought captive, and I'm going to talk a little bit about how to do it. I've been really meditating on this for a lot lately because God made a promise in the Bible, lots of promises. Promises, the Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful. The powerful thing about the Word is the promise. It's not your faith. Your faith is nothing. That's something God just gives you. You just read the Word, just read it straight, just the way it is, and then somehow God gives you hope, and he gives you faith. When you die, you won't need faith, you won't need hope, because you'll have exactly what you wanted. What's your heart desired? In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. There's pleasures forevermore. So whatever you hope for, or your faith and your hope, it is going to be done away. The only thing that will be left is love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love is what we're after, because that's where our perfection comes from, when we love our neighbor as ourselves. So every thought we have, every vain thought. As a matter of fact, when you die, your thoughts will perish with you. You know that? Every thought that you didn't take captive, every thought that was of your thought, or came from the devil, whatever, the world, will perish. And then all the thoughts you'll have is just, it'll be perfect. You will have no, you know where fear comes from? It comes from your vain imaginations, from your thoughts. Fear is a vain imagination. It's not even real. All your fears aren't even real. Why? Because your life is hid with Christ and God. Your life is hid with Christ and God. So every thought you have that's fearful, you cast it down. All thoughts,
Amen.
All thoughts, all they do is produce fear, anxiety. That's why people take antidepressants and people do all kinds of things to It's because they don't think right. That's our problem. We don't think the way God thinks. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. That's why we read the Bible. When you read the Bible, or you pray, or you have fellowship with the believer, you just do it by faith. You just read it, and you don't even try to get a revelation, or try to be something, or try to get assigned in a wonder, or get a revelation. You're not even trying to do any of that. You just read it because Jesus said to read it. I'm learning that as I get older. I just turned 60 a couple days ago. I'm learning that my life is totally by faith. I'm just walking by faith because I don't see it. You don't see a whole lot. You do see stuff because you'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. You're going to see that. You will see that. You will see how your family changes. You will see how you're changing. You'll see how everything. A lot of stuff, but you won't see everything until Jesus comes back. Then you'll see Jesus exactly the way he is, and you'll be just like him. And all your thoughts will be just pure, holy. But in the meantime, we're living that way. We're just living by heaven. Okay, this is a really good verse. It's in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, let's read it. I'm going to read it out of my linear Bible. Anyway, this is one of my favorite verses besides the whole book of Galatians, which I, to much of this, the grim of my wife, I read it all the time. Right, Leah? Because I love the whole thing about either you're living under the law or you're living under grace. Either the gospel or the law. And if you read the Bible, it almost seems like God wants you to behave. He wants you to be good. He wants you to be something. But really, it says that Abraham believed God and was counted righteous. And it said that if Abraham was righteous, or he was pleasing to God by the law, then he can glory. And that's the problem with us and almost all Christians, and myself included, is that we want a little bit of something out of it, of our walk with the Lord. We want a little bit of glory or a little bit of, God, at least I did this good, or at least I prayed, or at least I read my Bible, or at least I, whatever the most important thing to you is, you want glory from it. Well, at least I was kind, or at least I was, but no, it's just Jesus. It's all the glory, all the honor, all the praise goes to God for everything. He's building this church. We can't even build a church. People have tried. I'm sure Pastor Jim has tried. I'm sure David's tried. We've all tried to build the church or to have some kind of, you know, something. But no, only God can do that. Only Jesus can build his church. Only Jesus can change your thoughts. Only Jesus can change your behavior. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, if you get your concordance out and you look at thoughts or imaginations or any of those words, it's there's tons of it in there. Because our thoughts are not us. Our thoughts are just a thought. A thought is nothing. It's vain. All the thoughts of the wise, all the thoughts of the men, the Bible says, are vain. That means it's empty. It's nothing. It's just nothing. So all of our thoughts are nothing. They're just vain imaginations. I could look at a brother, and have you ever done that? At the airport or at the mall or wherever you are, or even in church. You look at an individual, and you've already summed up how, either how great they are or how wicked they are. And you compare yourself among yourself. And it's not, the Bible says it's not wise. It's not wise to do that. I always assume that everybody loves Jesus. It's easier to think that way. They don't have to think a whole lot. So even when I meet an unbeliever, I just think, well, praise the Lord. God loves that person. So they have a conscience. They have thoughts. They have a life. Jesus loves them. And I'm exactly like they are. My flesh, my hopes, my desires, my happiness, everything's exactly like theirs. Except for, I'm a new creation. But I had nothing to do with that. That's all Jesus. I'm a new creation in Christ. These old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's a good thought to have. That's why the Bible, that's why Jesus, and that's why we read the Bible. So it will change our thought life. Because exactly the way you think, that's the way you are. I mean, you'll act like that. Your behavior will be just like you think. If you're fearful, then you're afraid. And then you'll sin. If you're depressed, you'll sin. If you think that you're great, you'll sin. That's why the Bible talks a lot about humility, too. The Bible says, think soberly, because God's given every man a measure of faith. In Romans chapter 12, God's given every man a measure of faith. Even the unbelievers, they have an idea. Because the Bible says that a man that doesn't believe in God is a fool. But they do believe. There's no such thing as an atheist, by the way. Everybody believes there's a God. They might get it all mixed up or confused, but they might think that chair is God, or matter is God, or a cow is God. Everybody believes there's a God. Everybody. And they know. They're just making stuff up. Just because they hate you and they hate Jesus. I saw a thing one time on the internet. A guy had it was some kind of liberal march they were having. The sign said, it said something like, I hope Jesus comes back so we can kill him again. So people are, that's just silly. People don't know. But even our thoughts are not God's thoughts. That's why we take every thought in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Is it chapter 10? We take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Casting down imaginations. Man, that's a lot of work. That's why it's good to listen to Christian music, to listen to, you know, not just meditate on TV or CBN, whatever those news stations are, not to meditate on that, because it's depressing. And it'll bring fear and anxiety. It brings all those things into your life. But you think on these things, then you're happy all the time. I'm happy all the time. Because when I wake up in the morning, my first thought is, you know, gosh, I need a cup of coffee, or, oh my gosh, I'm, you know, I have a thought. But then I have to immediately go, that's why I have to immediately start reading Psalms and think, oh man, the joy of the Lord is my strength, blah, blah, blah. And you're reading about Jesus, trusting the Lord with all your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. God's mercies are new every morning. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. It's just stuff that we think in our mind is stupid and not important. Those are the most important things. The most important things in life are things that we think are mundane, things that we think are boring. But those are the most important things in life. So to read the word, even if it's boring, even if it's, and it is. Sometimes you read it and your flesh is like, oh my gosh. So-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so. You know, as a matter of fact, the other day I was reading because I started reading the Old Testament again. And I was reading in Genesis and started talking about Noah's sons and the descendants and all that. And I got kind of interested in it. I was like, this is kind of interesting. That so-and-so was alive when so-and-so was alive when so-and-so was alive. And they lived a long time. Can you imagine how many kids you could have? If you lived 950 years, you could have tons of kids. Can you imagine how many kids that Adam had? No telling. Or Seth or any of those guys. They might have had 2,000-4,000 kids. Who knows? That's a lot. I mean, Leah had, what? You had 6 kids in just a few years. That's fast. So imagine if she was 900 and something years old. She could have had, you know, millions of kids or something. I don't know. Anyway, God is good. Okay, Colossians chapter 3. I wasn't even going to go here, but I thought this was good. If then ye be raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Mind, the word mind, the things above and not the things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ and God. Now people would think, if you are heavenly minded, I've heard this before, especially in the Christians that are practical and rational and smart, that if you are heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I think it's quite the opposite. I think if you are heavenly minded, you are way, way more productive on this earth for the kingdom of God. Because the way we think is the way we are. And the way we meditate, what we meditate on, that's what we become. If you meditate on the word day and night, the Bible says you'd be like a tree planted by rivers of living water. What's wrong with that? And you're, besides, remember Abraham was looking for a city whose foundations and maker was God. And that's the same thing we're looking for. We've already got it, actually, because we are that foundation. We are that. Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone, and the apostles and prophets, and then even we are a house that God's building. And nobody knows exactly what that's going to look like, but it says it in the book of Revelation that when the new Jerusalem comes down and all, that's us. We're the new Jerusalem. We're the new thing that God made. It's a spiritual house that's going to come down and we're going to rule the world and all that stuff during the millennium. And all that stuff's a promise and all that stuff's going to happen exactly the way God said it's going to happen. But in the meantime, we live by faith. Meantime, we're letting God do a good work in us. God's doing a good work in us, whether we like it or not. He's doing a good work in us until the day of Jesus Christ. So when he appears, I'll appear and I'll be just like him. I'll see him as he is. And I've always believed God's promises are true, even though it doesn't look like it. Even though the promise itself is the thing. It's the power. And then you get faith. I don't even know how it works exactly. You just read the Bible. And then one day, like when I was, before when I became a Christian, I didn't believe. And then I believed. Just because some guy told me. I didn't even know the Bible. I didn't even, never read it. Didn't know anything about it. I was 25 years old, something like that. Yeah, 25. And then I read it, and I believed it. For somehow, okay, here's what I knew. I knew nothing. Obviously, I knew nothing. But when I got saved, I knew the Bible was true without even reading it. I knew the whole thing was completely truth. I knew Jesus was the only way. I just knew it. So I knew Jesus was the only way. He was the way, the truth, and life. And all that stuff just came real to me for no reason. I didn't even read it or understand it or have an understanding of it or even know anything about it, but I just knew it was all true. And I knew my life would never be the same. Because I had eternal life. I didn't know much about it, but I knew it was awesome, and I could not understand why nobody would want that. I just didn't. I could not comprehend. I just thought people just didn't know. Because I didn't know. I thought people, well, that guy just isn't a Christian. He just doesn't know the gospel. So let me just tell him about Jesus, and he'll get saved, and because he'll immediately accept it. And of course, it didn't all work out that way. I noticed that when I witnessed the people, they didn't want what I had. Quite the opposite. You know, they hated me. So, you know, that's just the way it is. But anyway, so we, our thoughts that we have are evil continually, except for this word, except for what the thoughts of God's thoughts, God's ways, and God's ways are way different than ours. I never imagined when I wake up in the morning that my thoughts and my ways are pleasing to God, except by faith, because I believe that Jesus saved me, he is sanctifying me, and he is glorifying me, but I don't see it. If you want something out of this life, if you want something to be different in your life, like if you were wanted to lose weight, for instance, or you wanted to change your diet, or you wanted to do something in this world, then that's what that consumes your life. I noticed when I was into sports a lot when I was younger, that was all I thought about. That consumed my life. When's the next big game? When's the this or that? So that consumes you. And then your fear. Then it just brings fear and anxiety. Now, if you're on some kind of food diet, that's all you think about. If you're fasting, you definitely think about food. So whatever consumes your life or your thoughts, that's what consumes your life and your thoughts. Then you're going to have fear and anxiety, and you're going to be depressed. Because things will never work out in this world the way you want them to. Never. There will always be like where me and my wife are at right now, I never would have imagined when we first started our walk with the Lord, when we first got married. I thought, well, this is the way it's going to be. This is how many kids we're going to have. This is what we're going to do. Blah, blah, blah. Nothing worked out that way. It's better than I could even ask or think. It turned out better than I could even ask or think. And I never am anxious about, well, never. I'm just saying, when I say words like never, I'm just talking like the Bible talks. I'm not talking about like I am. But I don't think about how my kids are going to turn out or how they're not going to turn out. Because God made a promise, right?
Yep.
He said, your children will be taught of the Lord and great will be their peace. And there's a tons of other scriptures Amen. Like that. So I believe that. Now, am I a flub up? Am I a bad dad? Yeah. But that doesn't matter. I'm trusting in the Lord that He's going to do everything. Right? Are you guys laughing at me?
Saying you're a good dad.
Oh, yeah, whatever. That's not true. So, anyway. Okay, so let's turn to another scripture. I want to read Romans chapter 12. I know you guys are all familiar with these scriptures. That Bible's about ready to fall apart. I better use this one. This one will stay together for me. So, Romans chapter 12. Okay, remember what I said earlier, the promise is everything. The faith will come. The promise is the substance of things hoped for. The faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The promise is what makes his faith its strength. The promise is everything. So all of God's promises are yes and amen. He's given us exceedingly great and precious promises so that we might be a partaker of his divine nature. And that's the thing that's the substance. That's the things that people do not want. All they want is to be healed. People want to see signs and wonders. People want to do this. They want to see something. They want to see something. But you're not going to see anything. You're just going to just read the Bible. That's all you got to do is read the Bible. And then it'll come. Faith will come. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's the way it comes. And faith is not an entity or something that's apart from Jesus. It is Jesus. Jesus is the substance, is the object of our faith. Faith is not something in and of itself. It's not just a quality of your soul or some kind of virtue you have or something like that. No. It just comes by hearing. You just believe. I don't know why you believe. I don't know why you guys would get up here and come to church this morning. I don't know why you would, you know, do anything like spiritual or anything like that, because it's boring and it's not, you know, it's not the world. It's not something you can see or touch or feel. It's just something that you read. It's just written down and you just read it. You know, in Jesus Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What does that even mean? I don't know. It's a promise. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. I don't know how to. I don't even know how that works, but I know it's true. I know that's who I am. And that's how we live. We just read it how we are, because all your thoughts are wicked and evil. Your will is to do evil continually, and your emotions are up and down, all over the place. And none of those things will make you happy. None of those things are God. Your mind, what you think, is not God. What you will is not God. What's your happiness or whatever, your sadness or whatever emotions you have, those are not God either. The only thing we have is God. We seek first the kingdom of God, and God gives us everything. He gives us a strong will. He gives us right thoughts, our thought life, our mind is renewed, and our emotions are happy. He gives that for free. He heals your body just for free. He does all those things. He gives you a good marriage, gives you great kids, gives you a great church, prospers you financially and does all those things. But that's all just a byproduct of your relationship with Jesus. It has nothing to do with anything except God made a promise. So before you see all that, you're already happy. You're already at peaceful. You don't even need it, as a matter of fact. Once you have Jesus, you don't need anything. I know it sounds not right, but it is right. All you need is Jesus. There's tons of songs like that. I need thee every hour. And there's modern day songs that talk about that. But really all you need is Jesus. Jesus, because in him are hid all treasures. He's got everything. Jesus has everything you need. But it's himself. So you read the word not to get a sermon. You read the word not to better your life or to 7 ways to better you or become a better person or become a better dad or become a better anything. You read the word of God to know Jesus. This is eternal life. Eternal life is to know Jesus. Then God gives you all that for free. And you didn't even work at it. This would be the best diet for any woman or any man to go on if you're overweight, to just seek first the kingdom of God and his right. Then food won't be that important to you or that interesting to you. All right? Okay, what was I reading? Oh, yeah, Romans. Chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't worry about the world and all of it and conforming to it. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your thoughts are going to be different. Your thoughts are not God's thoughts. Your ways are not God's ways. Those are the things we repent of. And when you have a stronghold in your life, it's because you're not thinking right. That's why it says cast down every imagination. In Corinthians it says cast down every imagination and everything that exalts itself above Jesus. So when I remember the guy Jesus told about the two guys that went into the temple to pray, and one was really like, yeah, I'm awesome. And the other guy was like, oh man, you know, have be merciful to me, O God, a sinner. And that guy went away justified, and the other guy didn't. And he was probably a really good guy, I'm sure. But because he was thinking, that's the way he thought. He thought he was good and that guy was bad. He was comparing himself to a man. Well, that's not that guy. That guy that was being wanted mercy, that was not the standard. The standard is Jesus. So I'm thinking about Jesus all the time because he's the everything. He's the one who lords me, which condemns me, my flesh, because, you know, I see Jesus. I'm reading the Word, and I'm thinking, and I'm seeing Jesus in the Word, of course, because he is the Word made flesh. And when I see him, I see, man, I'm not like that. So I'm repentant. Then I know, oh my gosh, Jesus. This is actually everyday thing for me. I just can't. I know I told you guys this before last time I was here, but every morning when I wake up, I can't believe. I just cannot even fathom the mercy of God, his loving kindness. How the Bible says in Psalms that the wicked, that all their thoughts are not of God. So they're not even thinking about God. And I'm not either. When I don't think about God, I just think how merciful he is. He's just patient. He's long-suffering towards us, not wanting any man perish, but all to come to repentance. And that's talking about us too, not just about the world. So that we can, God's given us time. Can you imagine if the election, for instance, would have went the other way? We wouldn't have so much time. We got a little bit more time now, maybe. That was my vain imagination. Was that, man? God gave us some time so we could grow, so we could finish the work, so he could build his church, so he could do all the things that he wants to do in my life and in the church and in, you know, David's life, Pastor Jim's life, and all of our lives. So I just think, wow, God gave us more time. How good is God? How merciful is God to us? How merciful is he?
Amazing.
See, the law without mercy, and that's how we read our Bible. We don't read the Bible like it's a dead letter. We read it because we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of God in us. So So it's a relationship. We're having a relationship with Jesus himself through his word, through prayer, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're knowing Jesus, and that's eternal life. Eternal life is already, we're already eternal. We're already have eternal life. When you die, like for instance, Greg Antoine, a friend of ours, died in Fort Worth, passed away. But he had eternal life, so he's already in the presence of the Lord. He's already got everything. But there's no difference by faith. There's no difference in the Bible. You have eternal life right now. Greg is a new creation. You're a new creation. Remember the Bible says there's no Jew, no Gentile, there's no woman, there's no free man, there's no slave, there's no rich, poor. It's just a new creation. So the only people that will be in heaven, the only people that will come down to New Jerusalem, that come down during the, after the millennium and all that, is all new creation. That's all it is. So there will be no more male, female, nothing. It'll just be a new creation. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's your life. Your life is hid with Christ and God. So it's all right to be spiritually minded. It's all right to be heavenly minded. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean you won't be any earthly good. You're already no earthly good. Oh, sorry. That's why we need Jesus, because he's good. God is good, merciful and kind, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Plenteous in mercy for all those that call upon him. So God is great and greatly to be praised.
Hallelujah.
There's no one like him. There's no one like God. So, and I had some other verses, but I lost my notes. No, I didn't. Here they are. Anyway, I thought of these verses. If you want to look at that verse, it says that all your thoughts will, is Psalms 146:4. It talks about how David was talking about his thoughts. I just was amazed this morning, or any time I read the Bible, I'm amazed. But this, I was just amazed how much it talks about our thoughts. Our thoughts can either, even the Gentiles, their thoughts either condemn them, or they are their. What's the word I'm looking for, David? It's in Romans, it says their thoughts either condemning them or justifying them. So you're being either justified or condemned by your thoughts. Because you have a conscience. And even people in the world have a conscience. They might not be, have good conscience, but they have a conscience. Even the wicked, even the murderers, and they have a code, or some, they have some kind of code or something. Everybody has something. You ever notice that? Everybody I've ever talked to ever in my whole life has had some kind of code. At least I don't do this. I might murder, kill, and rape, but at least I'm always on time or whatever the thing. I heard the other guy, he goes, he did all these wicked things, but I always keep a promise. If I'm going to kill somebody, if I promise I'm going to kill the guy, I kill the guy. Or if I promise, you know, I'm going to steal, I'll steal it, or whatever the thing was. So everybody has a code, and everybody has everybody justifies themselves or condemns themselves. If you're now, you know, people that become alcoholics and stuff, they're depressed and they had a law they couldn't keep. I notice that about everybody. I notice about myself is that we have laws and rules that we try to follow to justify our lives, to validate our lives, to make us valuable. You're already valuable. You are already precious to God. You don't need to do something for God to like you, or do something for people to like you. Who cares if people like you? That is, I never, really, I used to all the time, but I don't ever have that thought anymore. I wonder if so-and-so likes me. I just assume that everybody likes me and loves me. There's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says that God gives you favor with God and man, so I have favor with everybody. Even if they say they hate me, even if they cuss me out, even if they, you know, I know that God will make it good.
Amen.
He makes everything good. Everything works together for my good. Everything. 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 Say that. Everything works together for good.
Everything works together for my good.
And it's because you love God and you're called according to his purpose. Well, I don't love God, so that's not my verse. Well, it is your verse because you do love God. Don't think about it.
Just say it.
Just say it by faith. It's a promise. It's not you're doing it anyway. Boy, I wish I loved God. It's not you doing the loving. It's Jesus doing the loving. It's not you doing it anyway. It's a promise. I tell you, everything's a promise. Everything. Everything in your life that you have, don't have, all your future, everything has already been done by Jesus. It's all a promise. I love my wife with all my heart. Why? Because the Bible says I do. And my kids even know that. I say that all the time, so they're like, I know you love us, Dad, but I know it's by faith. But but it is. What else is there? Yep. The just shall live by faith. It's the only faith you got. Faith is all you got. You got nothing else. I'm telling you, you have nothing. Now you're just hanging on by a... If you didn't have Jesus, you would it'd be awful. You're just hanging on by a thread anyway. If Jesus didn't shorten the time, we would all... It'd be bad. It's a good thing that man only lives 80, 90 years or whatever. Because if you live longer, it just gives you more time to sin. The more technology to have, the more you sin. Your iPhones, your Googlies and all that kind of stuff, Twitters and all that stuff. All that stuff is good. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it just brings out people's sin. Because you can go on there and do a lot of stuff without people knowing it. Well, I don't know if they know or not. I don't know anything about a whole lot about technology. I just can email and text and make phone calls for my job. And that's all I do. Everything else I do with it is sin. Right, David? But it's just
keep it on phone.
Right. So that's how life is. Life is this. There's no security in this world for you. Only Jesus, and that's your thought. You have to think like God thinks. Remember, we said we just think like God, and the way you think like God thinks is not thinking like God thinks. Just think the way you think. It's okay. God loves you. Just read your Bible. Just read it straight up the way. But read it every day. Don't just listen to Pastor Jim. If you just listen to Pastor Jim, David, or whoever's teaching, you'll never grow, ever. You'll get some good ideas, and you'll be interested in, I wonder who the Antichrist is, or something like that. But in the end, you won't ever grow. You have to grow yourself. You and Jesus are it. You don't have. Pastor Jim, I don't even know where Pastor Jim is. Who knows where he even is? Who knows where he is? He could be in Africa or Israel or something. I don't know where he's at. So you don't know where David is. David could be off, at Starbucks or something. You don't even, it's not even helping out. David is no help at all. So really, you have no help. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't use people to, like, evangelists and all those. He does. Because you need to hear to preach and you need to have fellowship with one another and all that. But really, it's just you alone. Because you're with yourself all the time. Right? Wherever you go, there you are. Wherever David goes, David's right there. He's right there with him all the time. So it'd be good to drag Jesus along to help you out, to help your mind the way you think. Because people think crazy. If you ever talk to people, talk to yourself even, you're crazy. You have stupid thoughts. I do. Sometimes I'll think a thought and I'll catch myself. I'll go, oh my gosh, where'd that come from? That is an evil, wicked, nasty thought. Or even if I have a good thought, I think it's a good thought, it's evil and wicked. It doesn't matter. Because it's not from Jesus. So I have to think the way he thinks, talk the way he talks. And the only way I can do that is if I read the Bible. It's all you got. God preserved this thing for us. He kept this thing going all these years, right, David? When it was down to, it was down to just a few copies. But man, God in his mercy kept it going so that we would know. Remember, it says in the end days that knowledge will increase. I think a lot of that's for us so that we'll remember his promises. Back in the day, back in the medieval times, they didn't know a lot of promises. The king just, whatever the king said, that's what they did basically, or whatever the pope said. But we have promises. And like I said before, for all you guys that came in late, the promise, like it says in Hebrews chapter 4 about the Word of God, it's quick, it's powerful, it's alive. Powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides the sun, the soul, and spirit, joints and marrow. The discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So that we can cast down imaginations and everything that exalts us. Oh, forgive me, Lord, I had that thought. Thoughts are just, whatever thought you have to talk to Jesus about it. He's Lord. Oh, God, I had, okay, let's say, for instance, God, I have this thought, I ought to divorce my wife. Let me meditate on it. Now, you know, I don't do that. I just know exactly what it says in the Bible, so I don't even think about it. No, not even a thought. Or, I'm going to steal this. Nope, not even a thought. The Bible word gave me a problem, but God supplies all my needs. That's the reason why we don't steal, by the way. The Bible says, it doesn't say don't steal. It says that's our promise. That's not even who I am. Like, if you're tempted to do something that's evil or wicked, don't try not to do it. Just repent. Change your mind. Change your mind. Even that, even repentance is changing your mind. Just change your mind. It's a promise. Gosh, I sure hate that person. Or I want to kill them or something like that. No, you just have to say, I love them. There's certain people that are in my life right now that I have to do that every on a daily basis. I don't hate them. I love them so much. Because that's our vain imagination. That's just what we think. You always think that almost all the time, unless you're in the Word a lot and stuff, you always think not right. Your thoughts are always not His thoughts, and your ways are not always His ways. So that's what we're bringing everything into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ, because He's the one doing it. The obedience is submitting yourself to God. The obedience is not doing it. If you're having if you have a thought, can you not have that thought? You can't. It's there. It's a thought. Yeah, I had a thought. Boy, I sure would like to kill that person or whatever the thought is. You can't not have it. You just have to meditate on the Word day and night. Day and night. Just meditate on the Word day and night. If you have a thought, you cast it down. Why? Because the Bible says you can't. I don't know how you do it. There's no method for it or anything like that. You just cast it down. For instance, I might have a thought, I don't love my wife. Well, that's stupid. Of course I don't. But Jesus does, and therefore I do. So I'm going to change my mind. So I'm not anxious about or worried about the way I think or don't think. I don't even think about it. It's kind of weird, isn't it? It's kind of ironic. But I don't think about stuff like sin, or so I don't meditate on that kind of stuff. I don't even care about it. If God wants to convict me of a sin, then that's His business. I don't even care. It's not none of my business. I was talking to Jim the other day. I was talking about all the things that's really none of my business. Because the Bible says to think soberly. And don't think highly of yourself, but think with soberly. So I think that I'm a wicked, evil sinner apart from Jesus, and that Jesus is my life. He is my life. My life is hid with Christ and God. I'm a new creation. That's the way I think. I don't think any other way. In of myself, I'm no good. I never imagine, even for a moment, that I'm a good person, I'm a good Christian, I'm a good anything. Only God is good. That's a good thought to have. Man, I tell you what, that sets you free. That means I have no law holding me down, keeping me down, burdening me. I have no burdens. No burdens. None. I have no burdens. None. Not even one. Jesus took them all. Jesus took all my burdens and cast them into the sea. Like the song says, Jesus took my burden. We'd sing it all the time at the men's Bible study, but cause that's all we know. Yeah. Guys are not very complicated when it comes to worship. This is the day. You know, we're pretty happy with that. Women have to have these beautiful songs and real deep, and we're just like, this is the day. I think that's funny. You guys got to laugh at that. That's pretty funny. So, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So don't ever think about thoughts or worry about your thought life or anything like that. Just submit yourself to God. Just love Jesus. And don't worry about what you're doing or not doing. People worry too much about stuff. I notice that. We all do. We worry too much about stuff. when God has taken care of everything.
Amen.
The whole point is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. You overcome the world easily. Easily overcome the world. The blood of the Lamb, it's Jesus, His righteousness. So you're already righteous, right? Everybody here is righteous. By faith.
Amen.
You're justified by faith. Completely. You're righteous. So, as a matter of fact, that's the only righteousness you have. Is that. You're justified by faith. The word of your testimony, that's your test. Your testimony is your life. It's not just what you say and all that. It's your life. Your testimony is your life. For Jesus, your righteousness, and your life's going to change. Sorry, it's going to change. It's going to be different. Your thought life will be different. Your actions will be different. Your whole life will be different. You love not your life even unto death. That's where the part people hate, because people love their life. I don't care who you are in this room. You love your life. You love something about your life. I love how I look. I'm awesome. Or I love, you know, how great I am, or I love how I do this, or, you know, everybody loves something, but, or I love my wife because of this, or I love, you ever notice that in the world, you love something because of something. I love that because it makes me feel good. I love skiing, or I love football, or whatever. But those things, that's silly. You love because God first loved you. That's it. You love because God first loved you. God loves me, so I love everybody. You know, I don't love dogs and cats and animals. I love people. I love people because God loves people, and God is taking care of you. So you have nothing to fear. No fear. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. So there's no fear. Don't think about fear. If you're afraid, then you're not thinking right. Just say, God, I'm not afraid. And I look right straight at stuff. I do. In my own life. If I have a evil, wicked thought or I commit a sin, I go straight to it. And I go, Jesus, you said in your word, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm doing it by faith. I don't even care if I believe it. I don't even check out if I believe it or not. Who cares if I believe it? How are you going to check that out? How are you going to check out if you believe or don't believe? How are you going to check that out? You can't. You just believe it. Okay, God, you said come boldly to the throne of grace. So Jesus, you're just talking to Jesus is what you're doing. You're talking to, you're not thinking talking to yourself or to anybody else. You're talking to Jesus. Jesus, man, I just had this thought and I just did this evil thing. I just condemned that person, or I said a cruel word to her, him or her, or I did this or I did that. That was evil. And that's why I talk to my kids a lot. Sometimes when they do bad, I just say that was evil, wicked, and demonic. It's not like, oh, you kind of did bad, or, you know, you slipped up a little bit here. But no, you deliberately, knowingly sinned. And sometimes I'll be going about my day and I'll forget. This is the way you get. You'll be going about your day and then you'll think, gosh, it's been like 2 or 3 hours. I haven't even thought about Jesus or talked to Him or anything. God, I'm wicked. That is evil. Maybe you don't think like that. I'd think like that. And I go, forgive me, Lord. And I just find a scripture or something to meditate on. So God, that's our life. Our life, your whole life is not you're a doctor or you're a lawyer or you're a construction worker or you're a pastor. That has nothing to do with your life, or you're an electrician. That has nothing to do with your life. That's just what you do maybe to make a living or something. But who you are is Jesus. It's all wrapped up in that guy. That's your whole life. Your whole life. It's not who you marry. It's not how many kids you have or don't have. It's not, oh, I got this retirement plan, or I have all these things, which those things are not bad. But your life is Jesus. That's your whole life. When you become a Christian, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, you love not your life, even unto death. It doesn't necessarily mean physical death, but you don't love your life even unto death. That's It's easier to die. I think sometimes it would be easier for me to physically die for Jesus than to really die. To die from all my wants, needs, and desires that you want in this life. Die to having a good marriage, die to health, die to all these things so that you can have it. Because God freely gives you all things. If Jesus died for you, how much, the Bible says, how much more will God freely give you all things? Do you realize you're going to inherit all things? Oh, the meek shall inherit the earth. You're going to inherit the earth. You're going to inherit everything. Everything is yours already. You don't see it. That's what your anxiety is about. That's what all your fears about. You don't see it, but everything is yours. This whole world, this hotel, everything is ours by faith. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And the God of this world has been cast down. One day the devil will be, at the end of the millennium, will be thrown into the lake of fire. You'll never see him anymore. We won't see him anyway because we'll be in heaven. But when this thing all takes place, the wicked will be... In Psalms, David goes, gosh, Lord, I look for the wicked. Where'd they go? I can't see them. They're no more. He's talking about the millennium. During the millennium, when Jesus comes back and everything's okay, this world's going to be just exactly what it should have always been. And it's going to be set in order just the way God wants it, exactly. And all the promises that he made, we'll see them. We'll see every one of them. When you see Jesus, you'll be just exactly like him. That's a promise. I don't even know how that happens. Nobody knows how that's going to happen, but you're just going to look at him like, oh, wow. And then the Jesus in you, I don't even know how it all works out, but I'm a new creation and all that stuff. It just all works out. And you'll see him, and there'll be no more tears. There'll be nothing to cry about. There'll be no more fearful thought, no anxiety, no worry, no nothing. Just be Jesus and just in love with Jesus. And that's the way your life is right now. You just don't see it. That's your life. That's your whole life. But you don't see it. Sometimes you think a bad thought. Sometimes you think an evil thought. That's all forgivable. You realize how merciful God is? I just can't believe how merciful he is. If you knew me, really knew me, you don't want to know me after the flesh. I don't want to know any of you after the flesh. Because if you do, then you'll be depressed, or you'll be worried, or you'll be fearful. Just know yourself after. Read about yourself in the book. Even if you read a law, even if something sounds like it's pretty negative, it's really not. That's why I'm never read. I read the book of Revelation. I have to read it once a month because I go through the New Testament. So I have to read the book of Revelation at least once a month. I'm not afraid to read it. I think it's awesome. It's a good book.
Amen.
It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not fearful. I'm not an earth dweller, or I'm not going to... The Bible already says, it says a million times in the Old Testament that we're not going to even experience any wrath of God because we're his beloved. Would you put wrath on your wife? She's your beloved, right? You love her. You don't want her to be wrathed up or whatever the word is. You don't want her to be, you know, all that stuff. But all the stuff it says in the book of Revelation, it's good. I'm telling you, it's good news.
Amen.
Because it's all promise. And that's exactly the way everything's going to happen. That's why I don't pay attention to the news too much. I do, but not a whole lot. Because I know that most of it's a lie anyway. But still, let God be true and every man a liar. God's true, every man's a liar. So, most of the time, I'm just telling you, because I know this by experience, most of the times we lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves, we lie to others, we lie. Not lie like bold-faced lie, like, you know, this is a blue sweater, but no, it's red. This is red. Not that kind of lie. I'm talking about you lie to yourself. You think you're wonderful and awesome, or you don't think you, or you're depressed because you're not good enough or whatever. You are good enough because Jesus is good enough in you. So all your value, all your dignity, all your worth comes from Jesus. Did you know that? Even an unbeliever has dignity, value, and worth because of Jesus. Jesus Christ holds everything, the Bible says, holds everything together. Everything is held together by Jesus Christ. All matter, all everything. There's a thing, what's it called? Oh, I wish Leah was here. There's a scientist had discovered this thing. What's the smallest part of matter? Not atom, it's even smaller than that.
Cubit.
What?
Cubit.
Maybe that's it. I can't remember the name of this thing. But they discovered, and it's actually the shape of a cross.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't remember what it is.
It starts with an L.
It starts with an L.
Yeah. It's, oh, yeah.
It's called, you know what it is, I bet.
It starts with an L, that's what I remember.
It's lithium or something like that. Anyway, it's just... this is the smallest thing, supposedly. It's supposed to be shaped like a cross. I don't know if that's true. Well, anyway, even if that was not true, Jesus holds everything together. So everything's held together by Jesus Christ. So we have nothing to fear, worry, nothing to worry about. Now, a lot of people, like, let's say you're from Australia, and they always say no worries, right? Is it for Australia? Mm-hmm. But they... But I don't think that's true. I think they're worried a lot without Jesus. People worry, have fear, anxiety. Like I said, don't think about those kind of thoughts. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus. But don't be anxious about it or try to do, don't go home and try to do it. Just read your Bible. Like, it's hard to explain, but you read your Bible like just because Jesus said, just out of obedience. Just say, hey, I'm going to read my Bible by faith. So I'm going to read it. And I'm going to, you know, it doesn't even matter where you start or whatever. People have 100 different ways and methods to do it. I just read it. I just start in Matthew. I read through the Old New Testament. And then I read some of the Old Testament. I read Psalms. I just read it. And I go, wow, that is awesome. And God, then there's always a promise. You know why there's always a promise? Because everything's a promise.
Amen.
You ever read all the things that Jesus said when he was here in the Gospels? Those things are harsh. Throw that guy out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, you know, just because he didn't have the right clothes on. I was like, wow, that's really hard. I always go, geez, that's so harsh because, man, you know, what if people didn't dress like we like them to dress? I mean, it's throw them in the, you know, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But you read everything like that, and you see how merciful and how good God is. He has taken all the poor, all the those that are poor in spirit, and all those people that have problems, and and they're going to be the salt of the earth. Can you believe that? It's not the good people, it's not the great people, it's not the awesome people. It's all the people that you don't think of right now. Because I think there's going to be a great. As a matter of fact, I wish we could start some churches in the inner city and stuff, because I think poor people, I noticed when I was in Africa, for instance, people in Africa love Jesus because they have nothing else. And here we got to get rid of all of our stuff so we can love Jesus. But there, because we're in love with all of our stuff. But there, they have nothing. I mean, people live in boxes. They come out with their suit on and they're coming to church and they walk. I thought that was so hilarious when we were in Zambia. They would live basically in a little box. I mean, a cardboard box, right, David? And then they would come out, and then the family and them would all come out, and they would have, man, they would be dressed nice, way nicer than me. And I was from America, supposedly. But anyway, so the poor are going to inherit everything. And the merciful, God is merciful, man. He is unbelievable. So anyway, the thing I just wanted to leave with you was every man is a liar and God is true. But the God in you, the Jesus in you, the new creation in you, just meditate on that. Meditate on the word day and night. Chew on it and you'll be like a tree planted because you will have a good thought. The more I read my Bible, the better I think. And I don't even try. I'm not even trying to think different. If you try to do something in the kingdom of God, then you're going to fail. You'll do it anyway. I do it. But you do it anyway. But then you repent. Then you just trust the Lord. You believe in a promise. I actually do literally love my wife. But not... It's not me, but it's Christ in me. And people have a problem with that. Well, no, but you really do. But like my wife always says, I want your flesh to love me. Well, that's not going to work. Your flesh only loves itself. So I'm just believing the promise. And then it all works out somehow. I don't even know how it works out. I love my kids. I know God's taking care of them. And I pray for them and all that. I know God's going to take care of them. If I'm not a perfect dad, I'm not even worried about being perfect or not perfect. It doesn't even matter. I'm just believing the promise. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So all you're doing is living by faith in the promise that God made. But most of you are thinking, well, I wish I could have a promise for this, or I wish I could have a promise for that. You just read the Bible and get all the promises, and you get to know Jesus, then he adds everything else to you. Because what would that look like in your life? Just think about your life. What would it look like if you sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things are added to you? But you have to die to yourself. There's a death that takes place. Because you want to be in control. You want to be awesome and pretty and, you know, well thought of and all that kind of stuff. When you get old like me and Pastor Jim, and David's probably younger than I am. Are you younger than me? You begin not to care about stuff like that, what people think. If you go out of the house and your shirt's on backwards or something, you don't really care about it, or or, you know, whatever. I know Leah's dad's 93, he lives with us, and he doesn't care about stuff like that.
His dad would do the same thing.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't care what they look like or what people think about them. And that's the way we live. We don't care what people think about us, because we just care what God thinks about it. God loves us. He's for us. He is everything. Anyway, God's all for you. And I tell you, everyone here in this room is going to make it. It's not because you're impressive or anything like that. It's just because you have God. God will make sure. God will arrange the whole world so that you'll be blessed and you'll make it. The whole world. Do you know that? I really believe that. I believe the elections, all the things that happen to this world are to bless me. Everything. My family, all the problems I have, all the everything. I know everything's working together for my good. Literally, not just, but I'll see it. I don't see it now, but I'll see it in the future. Promises are always future. Because the Bible says if you hope for it and you got it, what are you going to hope for if you already got the thing? If you're hoping to get a new car and you already got a new car, then you don't hope for it because you already got it. So we're waiting. We're groaning in ourselves, right, to see the manifestations of the sons of God. And that's you. That's not somebody else. That's you. We're waiting. The world's waiting for us to be Christians so that they can have salt and light in this world, so that we could have whatever the thing is that God wants. The fullness of the Gentiles will come in so that we can get this thing wrapped up. I pray that all the time. God, thank you, Jesus. You're coming back. You can come right now. Right this second. I hope you come back right now. Most people are like, no, I don't want him to come back right now. I'm not ready. But you're ready. You're more ready than you think. All of you. All of you are more ready than you think because it's by faith. It's your heart. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you already think. You're already thinking, right? You just have to believe it. You have to think on these things. Think on the things above, not on things of the earth. Things of the earth are just so temporary, guys. Listen to this. I bought two new couches. I used to get couches at garage sales and on the curb. This is the way. So our whole living room was furnished with. I think all my furniture in my living room cost like $50 or something. But it wasn't the best. Let's just put it that way. So we decided we got some money for Christmas. So we decided to buy some new furniture. I wish I would have bought the garage furniture, but anyway, we bought this new furniture. Anyway, the cat put holes in it already. And anyway, if you're in love with stuff, you would just, you know, you would be devastated by that. But I was tempted to be devastated by it. But then I thought, you know,
yeah.
It's just, it only cost me, oh my gosh, it cost me a lot. So anyway, and you know, and people sit on it with something in their pocket and it scratches it and all. And you're just like, golly, you know, this life, you just can't love this world. It's just all perishing. It's all falling apart. It's decaying. So even though at the moment I was depressed for a moment, I remembered God. Just say, well, you know, it's going to get scratches and holes in it eventually. It might as well be right away, so get it over with. But anyway, God is good. I tell you, they overcame him by the, this is in Revelations, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. I tell you, just remember this every day, that God is your, Jesus is your righteousness. That's it. There's no other righteousness. There's no such thing as another kind of righteousness. Now, I know we got that teaching, the, what is it, five kinds of righteousness? I think it's five, yeah. You got natural righteousness, self-righteousness, actual righteousness, and all those different kind of righteousnesses. But really, the only righteousness you have, I know that's all true, but the righteousness you have is Jesus. And the word of your testimony, your life, and that's Jesus too. The testimony is the testimony. The book of Revelations is a testimony of Jesus Christ. Your life is a testimony of Jesus Christ, not how great you are. That's why I'm very careful when I testify and stuff, because, or when I teach, because my life is nothing. The best I can do is vanity. The best I can do is sin. But Jesus, so Jesus is my righteousness, totally, even actually. When I do a good, if I ever do a good work, which I don't know if I do or not, I never check it out. If I do a good work, then that's Jesus. But I'm just keeping my eyes on him, beholding him, beholding him. We're changed. So I'm reading the Bible, I'm beholding him. That's what the Bible's for. Don't read the Bible to get some kind of revelation or something like that. Don't do that. Because then you'll be deceived. Just get to know Jesus. That's all you need. I know it sounds simple, but that's pretty simple. This is eternal life, to know thee, the only true God in Jesus Christ. That's it. So that's why you're reading your Bible. And I forgot my thought. I have evil thoughts. Probably had a wicked thought. It's probably a wicked thought anyway. All right, God is good. Well, I'm going to close with that, because just remember Jesus. Oh, I was talking about the word of their testimony and love not your life even unto death. That's a hard one. Because that's where, you know, Jim talks about the chairs. That's where chairs 5 and 6 come in, or chair 5 comes in, where you're being discipled. You're changing, your life's being turned upside down. Your cats are putting holes in your furniture. There's bad stuff going on in this world. But you're still happy, and you're still joyful. And you're learning to rejoice always. You learn that Jesus is everything, and this life is nothing. There's nothing in this. There's literally nothing in this life. I can't even imagine something in this world I would want besides Jesus. Trade for knowing Jesus. Nothing. Not my life. Not my wife. Not my kids. Not church. Not anything. Not money. Nothing. I think God did that. What time is it?
24.
Okay, I just want to make sure I don't go over. But just one more thing, because I remember, I'll give you a little testimony. When I worked for two guys, not recently, but for 5 years I worked out in Sulphur Springs, and I worked for another, the Basses. You know what the Basses are in Fort Worth. So I've seen how rich people live, been kind of. Well, especially with the people that lived out in Silver Springs, I was more intimate with them because I worked with them every day and in their house and all that, because I was remodeling their mansion. I just learned, I guess God took me through all that, because I learned that, man, you know what? Having money is really nothing. Those people were the most depressed, unhappy people I've ever met. And anxious and fearful, because they have, once you get a lot of stuff, then you got to take care of it. You got to secure it, and you got to take care of it, and you got to. It's a lot of work. I tell you, it's a lot of work being rich. I don't know if any of you are ever rich, but it's a lot of work. I had to do most of it, I know. So it is a lot of work. And plus, you have to cheat, keep, kill, and destroy to keep your stuff, and it's just not worth it. Just let God do it. He said He'd supply your needs according to His riches and glory.
Amen.
So you don't have to worry about it. All right? So just believe God promises. Everything in the Bible is a promise. Nothing's a law. Nothing's a law. The law is out, and the gospel's in. Live by the gospel. Jesus is your righteousness, right? He's your Lord. He convicts you of sin. And then He empowers you to be everything you need to be. Right? So you'll be a salt and light. And you will be salt. You are. But you'll see it. You guys are already all salt and light in this world. You don't even know it. But you are. And you'll see it. And you go, oh, wow. Lord, when did I do this and this and this? And He goes, well, You did it to Lisa, these are brothers. You did it unto me. So you'll see it. You'll see everything. But not yet. It doth not yet appear, but it will. And you'll see everything. And it'll be perfect. Every work God does is perfect. Every work we do is not perfect. Every thought we have is vain and evil, and it's a lie. Every thought that we get from God is right. Those will remain. Those thoughts that Jesus has in us and through us will remain. All the other thoughts will perish. When you die, all your thoughts will perish with you. That way you're happy. Because who wants to be worried and anxious and fearful and all that stuff? Or proud and all that kind of stuff. All that stuff will perish. And you won't even think, you'll be just like Jesus. You'll think like Him, you'll look like Him, you'll act like Him. Be awesome. Right?
Amen.
Be the best. All right, God is good. I'm going to pray. If anybody has anything we need to pray about. All right, Father, we just thank You for Your word. And even communion, we do it by faith because You said to do it. You said, as oft as you meet, to do this. So, Father, we just thank You that You have done everything. The blood, the blood, the blood. Without the blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And thank You that Your body was broken and that You did everything. Died completely to take away all of our sins. All of our unrighteousness. All of our thoughts. Everything. You've taken all that wicked stuff away and You've given us eternal life. And even though we don't see it, yeah, that's what we're doing here. We're remembering. Till the Lord Jesus comes back. Then we won't have to do communion because it'll be there. It will be just like Jesus. So Father, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and He broke it. He said, this is My body. This is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. So let's take the bread. And in like manner, He took the cup. He said, this is the cup. This is the cup. The everlasting, the blood for the everlasting covenant. This is not a new thing, but this is being consummated. This new covenant, this covenant that's based on promise, this covenant that's based on the blood. Only sacrifice. Jesus is He's a pure sacrifice. There's no more sacrifice for sins. We don't have to make up for them or do better or anything. There's no more sacrifice of sins. We have no way to, like Abraham, we can't sacrifice our sons or daughters. We can't sacrifice anything, even our worship or anything. Jesus did everything for us, in us and through us. So we thank You for the blood. And He said, take this cup. All of you, and drink from it. So let's drink of the cup. I didn't open mine up. Nice. Thank You, Jesus. Father, I thank You for healing.
Yes.
I thank you, Father God, for all the blessings that come through Jesus Christ. Because all of us here, Lord, we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things are added to us. Health. You supply all of our needs, so we don't have to even worry about it or think about it or meditate on it. We just know you're taking care of it. I pray you heal everyone's body today, Father, so that they could be vibrant and active and alive. And Lord, I pray that you would heal them in their minds. Lord, that we would have thoughts, your thoughts, not our thoughts, but your thoughts. And we thank you, Father, that you're taking care of that. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So, Father, I thank you that we have the mind of Christ. Doesn't seem like we're just believing it by faith, because you said it in your word. You said we have the mind of Christ, so we have the mind of Christ. So thank you for that. Thank you for taking care of all of our lost relatives, the ones that don't know Jesus, that are still trying to make it in this world, however they can. Let them come to know Jesus. Let the God of this world, in Jesus' name, that has blinded their eyes, that those scales would be lifted, and that they would see clearly the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And come to the knowledge of the truth that's in Jesus. And Father, we thank you for that. And you said in the book of Acts that that guy, he was saved and his whole household. Well, that's what we want. We want our whole house, all of our relatives, all of our children, spouses, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, all to come to know Jesus, to come into the kingdom of God. And Father, we thank you for that, for doing it. And we're not going to worry about it. If we ever worry about it, we'll pray. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. And God's peace will take care of that. So, Father, we thank you that we prayed about it. Now we don't have to worry about anything. Just we think about it, we'll pray again. And we won't worry about it. We'll think good thoughts, thoughts of peace, thoughts of righteousness, thoughts of joy, thoughts that are his thoughts, Jesus' thoughts. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.